This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. Franz Liszt was the world's first rock star. Men wanted to be him, women just wanted him. They would throw their handkerchiefs and even apartment keys at him, on stage and on the street. And there's no evidence that Liszt did anything to discourage this scandalous behavior. After all, he was the one who invented the solo recital, an entire evening of one performer holding the stage. And he was the first to turn the piano sideways, so that during those recitals, instead of the keyboard and the back of his head, the audience would have a full view of his handsome profile. Liszt wanted to be the Paganini of the piano, and he succeeded beyond even his expectations. But Liszt was as much a musician as a showman, if not more so. Some have called him the greatest pianist ever. His improvisations were legendary, and he was a very inventive composer, though he has gotten a bad reputation over the years from critics and commentators who have called his orchestrations awkward or even tasteless. He was the only contemporary whom Richard Wagner would admit as an influence, and he had been dazzling the music world since he was just a boy. When Anton Diabelli asked the great composers of the Austrian Empire to write a variation on his own waltz for a patriotic compilation, Liszt was the youngest composer included, at age 7. And it may be apocryphal, but in his later years, Liszt recounted how Beethoven himself came to one of his pre-teenage recitals, kissed him on the forehead, and pronounced him a genius. Liszt had first sketched out the main theme of his first piano concerto in 1835, when he was 24. And later on, when critics gave him a hard time, he even managed to turn it into a good laugh. The great conductor and pianist Hans von Bülow was married to Liszt's daughter Cosima, until Wagner stole her away, and he was a big fan of his father-in-law's music, in addition to being more than a bit of a know-it-all himself. He and Liszt put words to that opening theme that made them both feel a little bit better about themselves at the critics' expense. Das versteht ihr alle nicht, haha, which means, none of you understand this, haha. Liszt even repeats the phrase for good measure, and then launches into a fiendishly difficult mini cadenza. The harmonies shift restlessly. Where is the home key? This must have been one of the passages that Wagner admired so much. He was still developing his music of the future. One of the challenges Beethoven laid down to composers with his Symphony No. 3, the Eroica, was one of form and organization. Symphonies, concertos, and sonatas had been locked into formal structures for the better part of a century, and what Beethoven did with the Eroica, more than almost anything else, made the explorations of music's romantic era possible. Liszt spent his whole career taking this challenge and running with it. After such a powerful opening, Liszt gives the pianist a series of delicate duets, first with the clarinet, then a pair of violins. At the time Liszt started writing this piece, he had written nothing but piano music, so he gave the task of orchestrating it to one of his students, Joachim Roth, who went on to be a fairly successful composer himself. Liszt made revisions to the piece in the late 1840s and again in 1853, so by the time of its premiere in 1855, it was mostly Liszt. But Roth still claimed credit for most of it. As the first movement progresses, that opening phrase returns again and again, and each time it leads to something new. Recitative, a lyric melody, thundering octaves, and finally to a series of glittering runs that end the movement in a magical puff of smoke. Liszt strings together the second, third, and fourth movements with seamless transitions. Robert Schumann had mystified his audience when he tried this with his Second Symphony in 1841. But by the time Liszt went through his second set of revisions to his concerto, Schumann had premiered the revised version of that symphony, which we now know as Number 4, paving the way for Liszt and others to defy convention. The strings lead off the movement and suggest a melody which the piano then fills out, proving that Liszt was not just a master of bombast. This is one of Liszt's most beautiful inspirations, full of passion and poetry. As this melody winds down, the orchestra restates its suggestive opening, more urgently this time. The piano responds in kind. The pianist and the orchestra engage in a passionate call and response. It's similar to the dialogue in the slow movement of Beethoven's fourth piano concerto, but interwoven. After another brief cadenza, when things have calmed down, the woodwinds present a new idea against a decorative background in the piano and strings. But when the clarinet offers to bring back the great melody from the beginning of the movement, there's an interruption. Silence, the ping of a triangle, and the dancing reply of plucked strings. The caustic but very influential critic Edward Hanslick was so infuriated by the prominence of the triangle that he always referred to this piece as Liszt's Triangle Concerto. Hector Berlioz, on the other hand, conducted the premiere and must have been pleased by Liszt's tribute to the goblins in his own Damnation of Faust. Thank you. Liszt once again finds his way into a transition without ever bringing the movement to an official conclusion. Another short solo cadenza brings back the theme from the opening of the concerto, and everyone joins in, bringing back almost all the major themes. This sets the stage for the finale, which, except for the opening theme, is completely made up of material from earlier in the piece. In a letter to his cousin, Liszt described the fourth movement as merely a recapitulation of what has come before, only quicker and with a springier rhythm. It contains nothing new, he said. This binding and rounding off a piece at its close, he wrote, is a technique I have made my own, but it is justified by the musical form. The final passage is a variation and major mode development of the scherzo's motif, Liszt continued. At last, the very first theme comes in with a trill accompaniment to conclude the whole. It's an extended coda that certainly would have made Beethoven proud. Liszt may have been one of the 19th century's most exasperating underachievers, to say nothing of committing the unforgivable sin of success on a staggering scale. But he was a genius. This concerto can remind us of that. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.